Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, former University of Oregon offensive lineman Nick Cody, played for Chip Kelly, among all others. He's living in Seattle now. Living the Amazon life, are you?
Yeah, that's pretty good summary of it, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to know, because you're a guy who, and I know you listen to the show and you stream it, and I appreciate that for you, but you're a guy who's lived in the bubble, quote-unquote, that college football creates naturally. What do you think about when you think about a college football season that is about to be attempted and what it would be like to be a player in the middle of that?
Well, first, John, I want to say my condolences for your loss. And, you know, that was very hard to listen as I was waiting to call in. But, you know, that's one thing I think a lot about that I don't think I would have thought about if I were still a college athlete is loss and the potential for loss. And the really difficult thing with college football is there is no bubble. There's no realistic form of a bubble. While they can get all the NBA and WNBA players, you know, in Orlando and get everyone on lockdown and have everyone monitored, for me and in my experience of being a football player with 105-plus teammates and at least 20 staffers that were working, not just as coaches, but people in the treatment staff, the great people out there that are in the equipment staff, and then you have to think every single person they come in contact with is put at risk too. And they have families and they have kids. And when I was a 22 year old, I probably wouldn't have thought of those things. In fact, when I was playing at Oregon, we had a small swine flu outbreak. And I unfortunately was one of the players that caught that. And I was sitting in my home, told to stay home with 104 degree fever. And at that point, I still wanted nothing more than to go out and practice and be with my teammates. And every moment, even when I was suffering, I felt guilty and bad for not being with them. And that's a very scary and unhealthy thing that we don't really talk about in society, because athletes are driven so hard, and this is their passion, that, like we've talked about other addictions, you will literally just continue to seek it out even when it's not healthy for you. So I think an important thing to talk about with the COVID is maybe the athletes that are being advocates right now, even though they aren't speaking on behalf of everyone, maybe we need to give that significant voice, you know, a lot more precedence, because these people are speaking for people who may not be able to speak for themselves, who may be addicted to their sport so much, who love it so much, like I did, that you wanted nothing more than to go out. And even though right now it just doesn't seem feasible to me.
Nick Cody is with us, former University of Oregon football player. All right, what do you say, like, to a program that says, look, we can lock this down, we can keep kids safe? Let's start with that. Yeah. Can it be done? Can they do it for 10 or 12 weeks?
I'll give you two great examples. Oregon said, you know, they're happy with their staff. I trust the medical staff in there. I know those people are top par. They've dedicated over a decade of their lives to Oregon athletics. I trust them. But, you know, then you hear Ohio State coming out today, all their players saying the same thing, and that they back their program. And that's great. And even if you take the 120-plus people I've already described that you're going to come into contact with on a daily basis, and you trust all of those people to maintain social distancing and keep away from, you know, large gatherings, even if you trust all those people within your team, it's a multiplier, an exponential multiplier for every road game you play and every team you bring in with those 105 people. Like, that's what I think people really aren't thinking about. Is Ohio State confident in their own program and their ability to spend loads of money to be able to keep their players quarantined, safe, all together? Maybe. But how do they feel about traveling to Wisconsin? You know, how do they feel about going and playing at Purdue or something? Like, those are the things that I think people are thinking immediately, like, how do we get on the field? How do we get people going without thinking long-term of how do we actually get the travel initiated? How do we trust other teams that they're going to? And as long as the NCAA and the conferences aren't coming out with a very clear and specific plan, it's just not right. It doesn't seem right to me that the players are the ones that have to demand this.
Nick Cody with us, former University of Oregon football player. Will kids be responsible, or do you see the potential here for how many players are we talking about? How tight-knit was your group? I mean, you guys are headed to play for a national championship back in the day. You got Chip Kelly in charge. Could Chip Kelly have kept you guys from, you know, mingling with outsiders or going to play video games somewhere or going to a party? Could that discipline work?
I mean, I think absolutely Chip could have managed it in a system with the depth that we had. He would just, you know, he was a true believer in next man up. But again, my concerns aren't necessarily within my own team, the people I'm with, you know, day to day, every single day, because you can get a good idea of whether they're upholding those things or not. But man, when it comes to playing an opponent and then referees and all the people it takes to put on a game, it seems feasible with, you know, when you got 5 versus 5 on a basketball court, but when you've got 11 versus 11 on the field, and then you've got all their backups and their backups, backups and the special teams. I mean, if you do the math, somebody is going to get very, very ill. And we don't even know long term, you know, especially we don't think a lot about how many of these men are over the 20% body fat range. And, you know, like I was a guy that only to maintain 300 pounds, I had to be technically in the obese category. And we aren't thinking that if these cause long term health issues, especially with the heart, you're already putting so much stress on these athletes' hearts that, you know, I think when you really, really take a wide perspective of look outside of just the sport and you really just look at the science involved and you look at our country right now and the numbers, it's just, you know, I understand there's so much money tied into it and careers tied into it, but to me, it isn't worth even one human life.
Nick Cody, former University of Oregon offensive lineman. The players that are going to sit out are getting criticism. And people don't understand. I see people on the Bald Face Truth Facebook page right now arguing that, you know, players should just be happy with their scholarships. Players should, you know, they signed a contract when they signed that scholarship. They need to show up and they need to fulfill that contract. What do you say to those people?
I mean, I've gotten a lot of it in my own timeline for voicing my own opinions, John, and I've had people tell me, well, you know, those players take a risk every time they get on the field, and maybe they aren't even suited for playing football. And I respond to those people by reminding them that you can't spread an ACL tear to your friends and family. You can't spread, you know, a lingering injury. All those risks you already take in football are entirely apples and oranges compared to what is a deadly virus that we don't fully understand the long-term, you know, immune compromises that you're going to suffer from. So, you know, I think a lot of people that are the loudest on this topic against the players are the guys that say, you know, I'd still play football. Their senior year on their JV team, they say they'd never stop playing football again. But when you understand the sacrifice these athletes already put in and the level they're pushing their bodies already to compete, and then just the preparation that we've not necessarily put in place to make that happen this season, at least safely, I think, you know, those people really need to take a hard look at themselves and why they're arguing for what they are. And if it's for entertainment value solely, I think they need to look in different areas for entertainment, because right now, you know, sports is it's one of those things. If you can manage it and you can control it, it's safe. But look at all the players already, you know, 69 players opting out of the NFL, and they're only going to get paid $150,000 to $350,000 for that. I mean, that's a, you know, those guys have to pay mortgages. They've got medical bills. They've got to take care of their families. I mean, that's a sacrifice. And if you've got 50 plus players in the NFL doing that, I think you really need to take consideration, multiply how many college players there are that will never see any money like that.
What do you say to people who say, look, the death rate for those who are under 25 without underlying conditions, come on, we're talking about a small percentage of people here, Nick, that are going to get sick and have maybe long-term you know, reactions to this, or maybe even death. It's like being struck by lightning. They start to throw out that data. I'm not comfortable with that. Why are you?
No, absolutely not, because that's, again, only thinking of one degree of how it could spread. You're looking at the players, because those are the players that they have the visibility. But, I mean, look at the coaching staffs when I was there. Look at how many of those guys were, you know, there for 30 years, significantly older, having, you know, being put at risk, and then their families. That's the thing people aren't thinking about. Like, at the end of the night, you know, people go home to their families, and they don't understand that these players, yeah, some of them are kids, but some of them do have families. I had a lot of teammates that, you know, I had to go home, like Mark Asper, perfectly reasonable, loving adult, but his kids, you know, you have no idea, because he could be passing it on to them, which I'm worried about, but I'm also just as much worried about them coming in from, you know, a harmless play date and passing it on asymptomatically.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, you know, I have a hard time deciding for someone else what level of risk they're accept. You know, what should be the acceptable level of risk for you? I have a much better time with, you know, I'll decide for my family and myself. Talk with my wife about it, of course, as you know, because you listen to the 2 o'clock hour. But it's ultimately not going to be me telling someone else, "Hey, the risks are low. What's the big deal? Get out there and put yourself in the crossroads here." Nick Cody with us, Oregon offensive lineman, played under Chip Kelly and others at Oregon. You heard me talking about addiction. I wonder, because I've heard it compared to when players leave athletics, they have a hard time. They struggle. What was it like for you once you weren't a college football player anymore?
Well, you know, I had a really difficult process, and that transition for me was, you know, I was still trying to go pro, and, you know, I signed with an agent I wasn't very familiar with in an attempt to basically try and do whatever I could to just extend my career, even though, you know, I wasn't in peak physical health anymore. I had some lingering health issues. I still just wanted to play, and that's why I look at this whole situation with, you know, if I were dealing with it, I really fear that I wouldn't have the same perspective I have now at 30, because, you know, I wake up once in a while on days where my back's been tweaked again or my knee, and I think if that were my lungs or my heart, you know, that's what really scares me is, you know, we're living this in 2020, and, you know, a lot of people can compare it to a lot of things, but we don't have perspective yet, and we don't know long-term, you know, necessarily. So that's why it's been really disappointing for me hearing the NCAA, because they should know that the athletes want to play, and the fans should know the athletes want to play, but they want to do it safely, and that's something that the NCAA has claimed to promise them, and now you don't have anyone really wanting to step up and be a single united voice on this from the NCAA or the conferences.
Appreciate your perspective on that. Nick Cody, thank you for listening. What's it life like in Seattle amid this pandemic?
You know, it's pretty quiet for the most part where I'm at. I'm a little north of Seattle, Linwood area, but a beautiful day today. I was a little worried yesterday. It seemed like summer was already over with some of the rain creeping back, but I don't know. It's been good. I've been cooped up playing a lot of guitar, you know, trying to social distance, working from home. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's quiet. I know gyms won't open back up until Monday up here, at least locally. So, still weighing out if I want to take that risk, but otherwise I've been keeping to myself mostly up here.
All right. I appreciate you. Thanks for popping on with us. Give us some perspective from behind the locker room door. Thanks, Nick Cody.
Yep. Thanks, John.
All right. There he is, former Oregon Ducks offensive lineman. Digest that. I think it's important to hear from a guy who's been in that position and looking around going, I don't know. It's not me. It would be the other teams. I think that's a big question. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Coming up, Anna, in the 2 o'clock hour, we will talk about something that will be interesting, exciting, adventurous. I have no idea where it will go, but I leave the show with a smile on my face every day. All right, let's play Punch It Audio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Blazers with a big victory. Damian Lillard talking about the win over the Nuggets. Punch it.
We've got 8 games to try to get into the playoffs. And, it's not like we're looking at a full 82-game season, so we all got to be committed to that end of the floor. And tonight, you know, I told him, you know, let me guard him. You know, he made a few shots. I fouled him a few times, but he was comfortable, you know, for a little bit. And I just wanted to make him a little bit uncomfortable, be physical, and make him work for it. And, you know, I thought I did a pretty solid job of that.
You know what the Blazers are doing best of all? They are focused. They appear to be one of the few teams in the bubble that came to play. I like that about them. They were playing a Nuggets team that was shorthanded, and in the end, the Blazers got him. Lillard went off on a stretch in the first half where he scored like 14 of the first 21 points in the game for the Blazers, and a nice win for the Blazers inside of a bubble that all of us are hoping stays a bubble. Tom Wistersill is the commissioner of the Big Sky Conference. They have pushed football to the spring. He talked about why that happened.
You know, this was certainly something that we've worked on a long time. Everybody wanted to play football this fall, and worked really hard behind the scenes to try to find a safe way to do this. And, you know, I know that the decision was a long time coming. Appreciate the patience of everybody. And I know there's anxiety out there amongst our coaches and student-athletes and that. But hopefully they understand that we really needed to work very diligently to see what our options were. We engaged pretty much all the groups we have within our conference, including our new medical and health and safety committee. And so they were a key part.
Wistersill in the Big Sky moving football to the spring. A big part of this for the Big Sky Conference is the fact that they just couldn't afford to test like some of the Power Fives could. I don't think it gets the Power Fives off the hook. I think a lot of people are going to start looking at the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the SEC and going, can they play? Can they pull this off? I'll talk about Tiger Woods on the other side of this break. Also, I'll give you my 2 at 2. It's the two biggest things going on in the world of sports. Anna will be popping in to the studio. We will talk about heaven knows what on this radio program. I am always surprised at where the show goes. All right, leave it here. You
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.